You're the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari, Season 1, Episode 32. Hi, I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to the Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari. This podcast is based on a simple truth. Who you surround yourself with matters. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari will interview thought leaders from all walks of life who will share how they leverage peer advantage and show you how engaging your peers more purposefully can hold the key to greater success in business and in life. Today's guest is Peter Fuller, author, executive coach, and president of Live Fused. After launching more than 13 companies, two industry associations, and one nonprofit, and raising $60 million in the process, Peter chose to radically change the direction of his life. Rather than continuing as a serial entrepreneur, he realized his successes and many failures could help business owners and executives, so he became an executive coach, Vistage chair, and certified Gestalt therapist. Today, as the author of Start With You and president of Live Fused, he's created a powerful program that fully adapts to the professional and personal aspirations of each of his company's clients. We welcome Peter to the show.
Peter Fuller, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks, Leo, for having me on.
And I love how you roll on the weekends, man. This is what exactly I know what Live Fused and what your as your company, and of course you've got a brand new book which I'd love for you to tell us about as well. But hey, for starters though, I would love it if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of your background, how you got to what you're doing today, and of course maybe even talk a little bit about some of the people who influenced you along the way that got you to where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Leo. Sure, I am a serial entrepreneur. I've helped launch about 13 different companies, two industry associations, and a nonprofit on both coasts. So most of my work was done out in Silicon Valley, and some of it was done on the East Coast. And I'm here in Indianapolis because one of the companies I started a while ago got some funding during the 2009 recession here in Indianapolis, and that's what brought me out here. I'm no longer with that company. I'm doing executive coaching right now, and I'm a peer group chair with Vistage International, which I'm really enjoying that work. To answer some of your questions about the journey to get there, my parents are definitely some key influencers in my life, for sure, as they are with a lot of people. They were school teachers, both of them, and they really ingrained in me a very strong work ethic that I think has carried me through. I was purchasing my own clothes when I was 13 or 14, running two paper routes, both the Democratic paper and the Republican paper, so I was taking money from both sides. so not quite an ideologue, obviously, but really learned a lot from those experiences. But along the way, I've had a lot of great people that have come into my life. I think of one person in particular. His name was Jim Manis. He was one of the original folks at OpenWave. He also ran for Congress, and he was the founder of the Mobile Marketing Association. And it was really there. I was the executive director of that. I helped co-found that with him. And his leadership, almost he was a mentor. So I was a young guy. He was had a lot more experience, but his leadership really helped me understand what essentially is to take the title of your book, Leo, The Power of Peers. Because we formed an association, and I really, at that point in my life, began to understand the power that people can have when they decide to work together. And that's one of the key things that I learned throughout my life and carried me on through my career and up to now is what I'm doing now with Live Fused and executive coaching. There's many others, but those are out.
Well, in terms of the executive coaching and the work you do for Vistage Leading Groups, Tell me a little bit about how this kind of new approach, if you will, to coaching and to group work, influenced this whole idea of Lived Fused in the book.
Right. So one of the things that I learned when I started going through Vistage training is that when you get into coaching, and therapists will tell you this too, it ends up being a mirror to your own life. And that was something that was highly unexpected, right? As an executive and doing all these companies, you don't look at yourself. And then when you see aspects of yourself staring back at you, it's a little frightening. And so what I realized going through and seeing reflected back is that the last several years of my life, or through most of my life, I was doing things with the purpose, you might want to call it basic survival instinct, taking care of family and that kind of thing, earning a living, a decent living, and headed towards something. But there really wasn't intent. You could say there was purpose, but there really wasn't intent. Like, why am I really doing what I'm doing? And how does it all play together, right? Mm-hmm. I was very driven by the tyranny of the immediate, as most of us are. And I saw that coming through the CEOs I coached and started to think, there's something missing here. There has to be a better way, not only to coaching, but also to living. And the missing ingredient turned out to be intent. And so we formed a whole new process that bends the business around the personal, instead of having the personal being bent around business. So.
Yeah. So many people, obviously, work-life balance is such a popular topic, or people talk about that it's not balance anymore. It's actually blended and all this. How would you describe this? I don't know how to even describe it. This war we have, this almost yin and yang maybe between personal and business. I mean, how do you look at that? Or how should it be, let's say?
Well, you use the word should, so I'm going to capitalize on that a little bit. The war that we have within ourselves, Leo, I think is partially artificial and partially driven by external pressures as to what is the definition of work-life balance. And when I was I have a therapist, it's a Gestalt therapist, and Gestalt means whole or living in integrity. And what I like about that theory of therapy, and I've brought it through the folks I coach, is that there's no judgment. There is no should. What they try to do is work with you to figure out who it is you actually are, to have the figure, as they call it, emerge from the background. So we go through life with this idea, if people think about work-life balance, there's actually some definition that someone else has put upon it for us. And that definition stresses us out when we don't achieve that definition. What we're trying to do is really just understand the individual and what is balance to them. Some people love their work and it doesn't occur as work to them. And some people like to bike and play their guitar and do other stuff like that, or have family time. But it's really about what is the definition of balance to them. But everybody I've coached actually knows what it is they want. It's deep down inside them. And so when we get that out, then balance based on their own definition can occur, not based on my definition.
So you said that intent was kind of missing. And I think what I've enjoyed in some of the work I've seen, from you, is this idea that you begin with intent and with the outcome statement, right? So if you could tell us a little bit about the outcome statement, I think that's just a really powerful foundational place, to begin.
The outcome statement is the key. And like you said, it's extremely powerful. It's based on a lot of psychology, actually, that I won't get into. But there's a couple components of the outcome statement. One is the term. The term is 3 years and 3 years max. There's a reason for that. Like I said, I won't get into a lot of the details, but the mind can wrap itself around the number three. You can go through, basically the entire universe, and the number three repeats in geometry and everything else. And so there's something important about the number three. We feel we can accomplish something in 3 years. 5 years is a little bit outside our control. 12 years and 20 years, we don't comprehend that. And so it's three. The second thing is the intent, and the statement says the year is, let's say 3 years from now, the year is 2020, and I am. So it's a declaration of your intent, but it says I am for a reason. It doesn't say I might be, or I'm going to, or I plan to.
All right.
It says I am. So it programs the mind, especially when it's repeated, to actually start to believe that what you wrote down is what you are in that time period. The third component of it is, again, based on psychology, and there's the mind solves the problems it's given. If you give the mind a big problem, it will solve for that. If all you feed it are small problems, it will only solve for that. And what I've realized and what I've seen, not only in my own life after having this outcome statement, but in the lives of others, that actually rings true. So when we read this outcome statement every day, you're giving it a big problem to solve. And your mind will pick up on connections that will solve for that problem throughout the day. It also puts into perspective the daily grind or the stresses that we have throughout the day. It puts those into perspective because we know we're working towards that vision. And then the fourth component is that we break that vision down almost into daily things so that you feel a great amount of stress reduction, knowing that you're working towards that outcome, and that outcome is already there. Yeah.
Wow.
I spoke with someone. If you have time for a really neat example,
I'd love it. Yeah, absolutely.
So
the audience would love it.
Yeah, this is an individual I had just met. I was hanging out at a bar. My trainer happens to also be a bartender, and she said, "Hey, why don't you come over and hang out here?" And I did, and I sat next to one of her other clients, who is a rather large individual who's had a struggle with weight loss. And I told, and he said he's going to try a diet again. And I said, "Well, look, just take the stress off, and say the year is 2020 and I am 180 pounds. Now this would be half the weight he was now. And just say that every day and start to break it up. And so we thought about that, and apparently he started to do it. I got a text from my trainer the next 2 days later, said, "I don't know what you said to this guy, but he is totally chill and believing he's already in shape and he's having the best workout of his life." So it is transformative. It takes the stress out of, like, I have to drop 180 pounds today. No, you already are 180 pounds, 3 years from now. So that's just one example, but it has transformed a lot of people that have been working with it.
No, it's a great example. And I'd like to talk, too, a little bit about, as you've seen, there's a lot of research around people who make New Year's resolutions, right? And they fail miserably most of the time, like to the tune of about 92%, according to the University of Scranton. And but what's interesting is I kind of feel like not only don't they do a lot of the things you're talking about in terms of really setting a goal that is, I am going to do this versus I hope to, I might, that kind of thing. But also they don't typically enlist people to help them get to where they want to go. So in addition to our mind and where we have to get ourselves, how can we enlist others to kind of help us do what we say we want for our own lives in as part of what you're doing in that 3 year period?
Well, it's very important. And the power of peers is undeniably the most important component. Right, because we can have that intent, we can build the plan, but at the end of the day, if we're alone, it's going to be a lot more likely that we're going to just shuffle back into our old habits and old routine. Having the power of peers around us with accountability is that ingredient that puts what I would say the match to the fuel of our intent and helps us drive it. So I've rolled this out in my Vistage peer groups, and it's been remarkable. You know, every month they check in. Everyone knows each other's outcome. Every month they check in. What were you supposed to do towards that outcome? And what did you get done? And what do you need help in? We also removed all judgment-based language from the check-ins. There's a new check-in procedure. And so it's a really neat thing to experience when people no longer feel either judged by others or judged by themselves for their performance or lack thereof on their objectives. It just is what is. And so the peers really help push people along, and they're helping pushing each other along.
So. Do you see that because everyone knows one another's outcome statements and they really get a sense of what those big goals are, that they also tend to support one another just outside of the context of the monthly meeting as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's brought people together. But and even with that, when the peers get together either in the monthly meeting or outside the monthly meeting, and they talk about the challenges they're having or something they want to do, it's the advice they get from each other is within the context of the outcome statement, not always what's within the context of what may occur is what's best for business. And that's a key component. So what's best for business is not always what's best for the individual. And so we actually worked with one individual that and his peers knew what his outcome statement was and said, you know, this financial structure probably isn't the best, but we think you've got to do it because we know your outcome statement and we know what you actually want and where you're going to be in 3 years. So do this and worry about recapitalizing or refinancing that structure later. And it was really neat to see everybody not judge the deal based on their definition of good or bad, but evaluate it based on where they knew they wanted their friend or colleague, or where they knew where they wanted their friend or colleague to end up, and they helped him end up there.
So some questions about the outcome statement. First of all, how hard is it to do? And for you, what represents like a really solid outcome statement?
Yeah. Well, I've been told by a guy who is a commander in the Delta Force, the elite of the elite, that it was the hardest thing he's ever done. And these guys are drowned, you know, as part of the training. So I don't know if he's being facetious. I hope so, being that. But it's hard to do because we don't actually ask ourselves what it is we want. And a lot of business leaders don't ask themselves what it is they actually want out of life. Where do you want to be in 3 years? And it encompasses your personal life and your professional life, not just your business. Most any business leader can say, oh, well, I want higher profits higher revenue, higher profits, and lower turnover, right? We can all say that. That's easy, but that's not what this is about. This is about where do you want? What kind of, and this is goes into your second part of your question, is the best outcome statements are the most detailed. You know, so the year is 2020, and I am driving this car. I have this type of relationship with my significant other. I have this type of relationship with my children. If you have children, I am vacationing this many times on this kind of vacation, worth $40,000 or $30,000. As much detail as you can put into it, those are the most powerful ones that are actually going to create the best results, because your mind's going to start solving for those problems. So, yeah.
I would imagine that the more detail you have, the greater ability you have to develop a plan that'll make it possible, right? Because I kind of think about, I could put together an outcome statement for 3 years, and then we could work together on a plan. And then you might look at the plan, or my peers might look at the plan and say, that's a good plan, but that's not going to get you there. Like what you're talking about, it's going to require more than that, or it's going to require something different, right? If I'm looking for time with my family and something with my company, and someone sees that, I'm not sure, you know, that based on the way you're going about this, that you're going to accomplish both of those things. Is that, so how do you get to that place where you can really align what you're doing with that intent, with that outcome, so that you can really know you can get there if you follow what you said you're going to do?
Well, that's exactly right. And so seeing all of that helps coaches and peers ask the right questions. So for instance, one of the case studies in my book, and I can mention his name because he gave me permission, is Kurt Vandermeer, the CEO of Endangered Species Chocolate. He had certain objectives that he wanted to accomplish that were in direct conflict with business goals, or at least they occurred that way. And when we evaluated it and said, this is where you're going to be in 3 years, well, what do you actually need to do to get there? One of those things was he wanted a lot more vacation time than he was currently taking. But to take that vacation time away from the business would hurt the business. So you ask, well, why would it hurt the business? Well, the executive team, we need to bring in other people, right? So if other people were there and added on, then it won't hurt the business. And so anything is possible. And so the plan, therefore, starts with quarter one and says, okay, what are we going to do to solve for this problem? Because the extra vacation time isn't going to occur until quarter 12. Yeah. So you've got those quarters to evaluate your business team, bring in new people if necessary, professionally develop people, experiment by taking them half a month away from without calling in, do all those things, because you know in that 12th quarter, that's the life you're going to be living. But there is a lot of that stuff that's in direct conflict that we work out over the quarters.
Sure. Also in terms of the outcome statement, I could see where some people either shoot too low or possibly aim really, really high, and which could be a good thing, you know, but you also want them to be successful. So how do you go about kind of ferreting out to that when you're creating that intent, when you're creating that statement, that it is something that stretches that person and at the same time is something that you believe and you all believe collectively that if they follow their plan, they will make happen what they say they want to do?
Well, the first roughly 200 pages of my book is all about breaking down the mind and the way we think. So the key for the biggest key to sum up that book, the first 200 pages, is you have to transform yourself and get away from thinking that the past has any relevance to the present or the future. It really doesn't. You know, history is history. You can't go back to it. But in our minds, we bring that all through, especially as business owners. We try to forecast based on past performance. The outcome statement breaks that down. It also breaks down your mind free of judgment. You know, you're not going to judge yourself for what it is you did in the past or what you're going to put down in the future. It really has to be about what is it you want. And then once you've put that down, then you can start to achieve that. Now, I have seen in most cases, people don't believe they can actually have what they want. And so I've seen more cases of people under, you know, putting outcome statements down that are too weak than I have of people putting pie in the sky things that are not achievable. And that's because we have this stories in our head, judgments about our past performance. You know, oh, I can't possibly do that because I've never achieved that type of growth before. You know, I can't possibly have that relationship with my kids because I've never had that before. All these can'ts and don'ts and all that kind of stuff just has to be removed. And you say, well, what is it you want? The reason you haven't been able to do it in the past is because you never had the intent to do it and you never built the plan to do it. All right, so we have people that are on this to say they want to be more affectionate with their spouse. They don't believe they could for the last 10 years, but now they've at least just put that out there. And so now there's a plan to make that happen, whether that's start therapy, do this, hold her hand once a day, you know, or his hand, right? All those little things about on the plan. But you have to just really focus on what it is you want and not worry about the past.
Yeah, I mean, that is great advice. And I also think sometimes that to your point, we see ourselves in a certain way and we fill ourselves with, you know, various stories and past experiences and all that we hang on to. Oftentimes, other people see us differently than we see ourselves, and oftentimes see us in a light where it is even, quite frankly, can be more favorable. They believe that, like I can say, you know, Peter, knowing your outcome statement, I believe in you that you'll make that happen, even if you have doubts on your own. And I kind of feel that's incredibly helpful to be supported by people who I think can infuse that belief in you so that you can make that possible. And I think that's where peers can be helpful as well.
Right.
You know, I'm sure.
Absolutely. There's been many. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, I'm sure you see it in your group meetings all the time, right? I mean, with the whole idea of self-limiting beliefs or feelings about themselves, or if people think they come across in a certain way and other people think, you know, very differently about that, and oftentimes much more positively about that. And it can help us, hopefully, you know, not have a rosy view of ourselves so much as, I think, a more realistic one. I think so. I think we can be pretty tough on ourselves sometimes, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other part of the mirror, isn't always, it's constructive both ways. It shows us where we can improve, but it also shows us exactly, as you're saying, that we are being too tough on ourselves in most cases. Yeah. And I've seen that help out dramatically, you know, with people, especially when it gets around health, right? We seem to be very sensitive about health or weight loss or working out. And we've used in the peer groups again, there's no judgment, so no one ever says you should do this or that. It's whatever that person wants. But now we've gone to a mobile messaging app called WhatsApp, and people encourage each other daily. Hey, did you work out today? Don't worry about it if you didn't. Let's do it tomorrow. Or someone else wants to read a book. It's that sort of encouragement that goes along. And what's really important that I feel is the dynamic that helps that encouragement be received correctly is that the encouragement is only along what the individual said they wanted, not what anyone else thinks they should do. And so it's received better, you know, and it just like you're saying, it really helps out.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that is one of the most powerful parts of this idea that people express their intent, but it didn't come from external, like you talked about. It came from within. It came from, here's what I want. But yet, when you can surround yourself with people who can also be committed to helping you get what you said you wanted for yourself, personally and professionally, and then you can help others do that at the same time, it's an incredibly, I think, rewarding and gratifying experience. And I just love what you're doing. And I think the work is only going to continue to scale, you know, over time, because I like the idea that you make it doable. You know, you make it really practical and doable for somebody, as opposed to, I just think there's so many things out there that just seem just a little too out of reach. And I think your program helps people, you know, reach for what they want and actually have a way to make it happen that they believe can be realistic for themselves. And I think it's powerful stuff. So, you know, enjoy the work a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Hey, anything else that you want to share with our listeners prior to our signing off today? I'd love for them to get to know more about your company, more about your book, and just more about the work, you know, in general.
Well, sure. I would love to just wrap up by letting people know that the very important piece of this is that there is no Peter Fuller in this system. And there isn't, you know, so it's not like Carnegie or anybody else. And that's what's really unique to this. Any coach or Vistage chair or anyone can pick this system up and use it. You know, things come up. If someone doesn't want, if someone continues to not do that which they said they would do, that's a coaching experience that people can use. So there's, while it's a program, it's almost a program without a program, so to speak. And so you as a coach and as a client can put whatever you want to achieve through the system, and it will help you achieve that. And I think that's very important to know as a differentiator, because coaches are so valuable and they have their, and accountability is so valuable, and everyone has their own expertise to bring to the table. I don't want anybody to feel like, well, this is just one out of a thousand different things out there. It's Peter Fuller's idea. Once you really read into it, the main thesis is it breaks down any idea that this is anybody's idea. It's sort of weird, but you know, I mean, you've seen it. So it really is the antithesis of a program. And I don't know of any other word to put it other than a program. So, and LiveFused is online. There's an online component to it. There's a lot of coaching technology tools out there, as well as the system is on, coaches can use and clients can use to walk through that. And there's more detail on that online, of course.
So. Okay, so if you could give the web address, and then if you could give the complete title of your book, because the subhead is awesome. And
sure. It's livefused.com, livefused.com. And the title of the book is Start With You, How Badass Executives Are Transforming Their Lives and Businesses in Just 12 Quarters.
There we go. All right. Peter Fuller, thanks so much for joining us on the program. We just really enjoyed having you today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Leo.
You bet.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Peer Advantage, to submit questions to Leo and our guest, and to subscribe to the Year of the Peer podcast, please visit us at leobottari.com. It's leobottari.com. This podcast is produced by me, Randy Cantrell, hosted, of course, by Leo Battari. Music provided by Kevin McLeod, Vibe Ace, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.